B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Pei Vav. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis. Earlier on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, we learned in a Mishnah regarding what the boundaries are of Yerushalayim out of which the Korban Pesach is not allowed to be taken. And the Mishnah said that the chaloinos, the windows within the walls of Yerushalayim, as well as oivei achoima, the thickness of the walls, the top of the walls of Yerushalayim, are considered kalifnim. They are considered as being within Yerushalayim, and if the Korban Pesach is put on them, within them, then it's not considered as if you've taken the Korban Pesach outside of Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, hachaloinos v'oivei achoima v'chulu. And that's what the Mishnah says, is kalifonim, it's as if it's inside Yerushalayim. Omar Rav. Rav made a statement. Gagin, the rooftops, v'aliyos, and the upper chambers, the upper stories, loiniskachu. They did not become kodesh. That means the rooftops of Yerushalayim do not have the kedusha of Yerushalayim. The rooftops of the Azora do not have the of the chambers within the Azara, of the Heichal, we'll discuss later, they do not have the Kedusha shared by the area underneath them. So that would mean, if the Korban Pesach was taken onto the rooftops within Yerushalayim, or into the upper stories in Yerushalayim, it's not considered as if it's still in Yerushalayim, and will be an issue with the Korban Pesach. It has to be that the Korban Pesach is left on the ground floor within Yerushalayim. Asks the Gemara, Eini, can it possibly be that Rav said that the rooftops and the upper stories were in Yerushalayim do not have Kedushas Yerushalayim? V'omar Rav, did Rav himself not say Mishum Rav Chiya, in the name of Rav Chiya, that there were so many people eating from the Korban Pesachs that Kezeisa Pischa, that every person within a group which were registered on a single Korban Pesach would only get a single kezayis of the Korban Pesach because there were such big groups. And v'halelio, and the halil that was read, you know, that on the Pesach night, on Seder night, poka igra, it was such a thunderous sounds of the singing of the halil that it was as if the roofs were going to crack. Says the Gemara, my love, can we not assume that what Reb Chiya meant was the ochli beigra? Not only would they eat the Korban Pesach on the rooftops, the omri beigra, they would also say the halil on the rooftops. Or it's not about not only, but they would also eat on the Korban Pesach there, and they would say the halil there. And if so, you see clearly they would eat the Korban Pesach on the rooftops. How can Rav say that Gagin, the rooftops, Loinis Kachu, did not have Kedushas Yerushalayim? Says the Gemara, Loi. No, that's not the way you're supposed to understand what Reb Chiya said. The ochli ba'ara, they would eat the Korban Pesach on the ground floor. And then after they finished eating the Korban Pesach, they would go up onto the roofs to say halil, v'omri, ba'igra, and they would say the halil on the roofs. Asks the Gemara, Eini, were they allowed to do that? Are you allowed to change your place on the Seder night? Vatnan, did we not learn in a Mishnah? We're going to learn this later on Daf Kuf Yud Tes, that Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach, after eating Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to conclude Afi Koimon, which means Apik Mon, which Rashi explains means let's take all the utensils and move them from place to place, as if we're going somewhere else, which normally that would mean let's now go eat somewhere else. You're not allowed to eat after you've had the Korban Pesach. But you see there that you're not allowed to go from place to place on Seder night. V'omar Rav, shelo ya'akru mi'chaburo le'chaburo, that you're not allowed to uproot yourself from one place, from one chabura, from one group, and go to another group. So how can you say that they would eat on the ground floor, and then they would go onto the roofs? Are you allowed to do that? Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha, it's not difficult. Kan b'shas achila, kan shalei b'shas achila. Whilst you're eating the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to go from place to place. You're not allowed to go from one chabura, from one group to another. But shalei b'shas achila, when you're finished eating and you want to say the halil, of course you can go wherever you want, and therefore they would go up onto the roofs. After they would eat the Korban Pesach, they would go on the roofs and sing the halil there, and the sounds of the halil was as if the roofs were going to crack. So that was the first of five attempts to disprove or to discuss Rav's statement that Gagin Valio is Loi Niskachu. The first question was from where Abchia said, Halelia Poka Igra, and the Gemara said that it's not difficult. And now the Gemara is going to bring another source, and we're going to keep discussing Rav. Source number two, Tarshama. Abashol Oimer, Abashol maintained Aliyos Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim. We know that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the way the Beis HaMikdosh was built, there was the Azara that was outside, that's where the big Mizbeach was. Then there was the Ulam, which was an entranceway into the Heichal. And then inside, deep inside the Heichal, the end of the Heichal, was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this whole area actually had not only the ground floor on it, it actually had chambers above the higher up, upper stories, called Aliyos. So Abashol said that the Aliyos that were on top of the base Kodesh Kodshei HaKadoshim, that they were on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Chamura mi base Kodshei HaKadoshim, had a certain stringency that even the Kodesh HaKadoshim didn't have. She base Kodshei HaKadoshim, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kohen Gadol nichnas lo, Kohen Gadol would go into it, Pam Achas Bashono, one day in the year, he would go in a few times, the holiest day of the year would go in on Yom Kippur, to do the Keteres and a number of other avodas he would do there. But the only time a Kohen Gadol, and only the Kohen Gadol, was allowed in was just on Yom Kippur. However, Valias, Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim, those upper stories, those chambers above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ein Nichnosin Lo, they would only go in Elo Pam Achas B'Shavua, once in 7 years. V'Omri Lo, and others say Pam Pa'omim B'Shavua, twice in 7 years, but not every year. V'Omri Lo, others say Pamachas Bayovil, once in 50 years they would go in there. Why would they go into them at all? Leida Ma'itzricha, to see whether anything needed fixing, whether the walls were cracked, whether they needed any repairs. So you see that the chambers above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which are the Aliyos, had even more Kedusha than the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. How can you say, how can you, Rav, say that Aliyos, Loi Niskachu, that the upper stories do not have the Kedusha of the area below them, when you see clearly that Abashol said that the area on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim had even more Kedusha than the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself? Says the Gemara, this is not a refutation against Rav, Omer of Yosef, Meheichal, Nekam, Venesav, Inch. You want to ask a question from within the Heichal, which is the area inside them, is not the Azara, it's the area inside, which the Heichal and includes the Kodesh Kadoshim. Shani Heichal. We have a special posuk that tells us that the Aliyos of the Heichal, they do have Kedusha. The Chsiv, it says in the posuk, Vayitein David l'Shloimo b'noi. David HaMelech gave over to his son Shloimo, as Tavnis, the floor plans of Ha'ulam, of the entranceway into the Heichal, Ve'ez Batov, and the various structures within the Heichal, Ve'es Ginzachov, and the storage chambers within the Heichal, Ve'al Yosav, and the upper chambers, the upper stories within the Heichal, Ve'chador v'apnimim, and the inside rooms, Ubeis HaKapoires, and the room that where the cover of the Orin was in, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all that was given over by David HaMelech to Shlomo HaMelech. Uchsiv in the Pasuk says, a few psukim later in Divrei Yomim, it says Hakoyel, everything was bichtav, was given, was written down. Miyad Hashem olai hiskil, that Hashem gave over the exactly what had to be done and how it had to be done. Olai hiskil, it's what Hashem gave me to understand, and I, David HaMelech, gave it over to Shlomo HaMelech. So the very fact that it says that everything to do with the Heichal, including Aliyosov, the upper chambers of the Heichal, including the upper chambers of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was Hakil Bichtav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil. Therefore, you see that there was a specific Kedusha that did apply to those Aliyos of the Heichal. But all the other Aliyos of the Azara, the Aliyos of Yerushalayim, indeed it could be that they are not Niskadish. Continues the Gemara Toshima, we're going to try from a third source. The Mishnah in Ma'aseh Sheni, the Mishnah says, Halishkois habnuyois b'kodesh. Those chambers that were actually built B'Kodesh inside the Azara. We know that the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, was a mountain, and there were many different layers, many different levels, and each level was flattened out, and there were steps going up to the next level, and steps going up to the next level, many steps. So you had in the Azara, there were chambers that were built in the Azara. Inside the Azara themselves, there were a number of chambers, and there were even chambers that were burrowed into the Azara, which means that the roofs of these chambers was the floor of the Azara on top of it. But at this point, we don't yet know all those details. All we know is that Halishkais, the chambers, Abnuyais Bakodesh, that were built in the Azara, Upsuchais Lachoil, and the entrances of these chambers were not, they didn't have entrances into the Azara. They had entrances outside the Azara to the area beyond the Azara, which we'll call Har HaBayis, where it does not have the Kedusha of the Azara. Then Toichon Choil, the area inside these chambers is Choil. It does not have the Kedusha of the Azara. It just has the whatever level of Kedusha the Har HaBayis has. It's called Choil for all intents and purposes. For what we're discussing here, they're not called Kodesh. The Gagriseim, however, the roofs of these chambers, the on top of the roofs, Kodesh, they do have the Kedusha of the Azara. So how can you, Rav, say that Gagin va'aliyos lo niskachu? Here I see explicitly that the roofs of these chambers that were built inside the Azara do have the Kedusha of the Azara. Answers the Gemara, it's not a refutation against Rav. We're not talking about the chambers that were built in the Azara. We're talking about the chambers that were burrowed, that were tunneled under the Azara. And those inside these chambers are chol, because the entrances into these chambers are not in the Azara, they're outside. However, the roofs that are on top of these chambers are kodesh, not because they are the roofs, but because they are the floor of the Azara. Since they are built underneath the Azara, the roofs on top of them is the floor of the Azara, and obviously the floor of the Azara has Kedusha so Azara. Asks the Gemara, Ihacha, Eima Seifa. If so, how are you going to understand the end of that Mishnah? What does it say in the next part of the Mishnah? The Bnuyos B'Chol. What happens if you have chambers that are actually built on Har HaBayis, not in the Azara? Upsuchos LaKodesh, but they have their openings, their doors, the way into these chambers are from the Azara. Then Toichon Kodesh, the inside of these chambers are Kodesh. Since the openings going into these chambers are from the Azara, it has the Kedusha of the Azara. The Gagoyseim, but the roofs of these, on top of these chambers, Chol, they are Chol. And that would go without saying that the roofs are Chol. Why should they be Kodesh? The whole chamber is Benuyos B'Chol. It's built outside the Azara. So we don't have an issue with the rooftops being Chol. However, if you explain that the first part of the Mishnah, we're talking about chambers that were built under the ground, and that's how you explain that the rooftops on top of the chambers that were built under the Azara Kodesh, because they are the floor of the Azara, over here, if you're talking about underground chambers, then over here, these chambers that are built under the Har HaBayis, then the Toichon, how can you say that the insides of those chambers are Kodesh? And the reason is, or the reason I explained, we'll soon see, but the reason we explained it is because Psuchos LaKodesh, because the doorway, the entrances into these chambers are in the Azara. V'isal k'daitoch b'shegagusim shovin nekarka Azara. If you're talking about that these chambers, then this whole mission is talking about chambers that are burrowed under the ground, havilei mechilos, then these chambers have the status of tunnels. And we know v'omer Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan not say mechilos lo niskachu, that the insides of any of the tunnels are not kodesh? And here you've got, how can you say here that the toichon kodesh, the inside of these chambers are kodesh, they're tunnels, and the inside of the tunnels are not kodesh? Answers the Gemara, kika omer Rabbi Yochanan bepsuchos lehar HaBayis. When did Rabbi Yochanan say that mechilos, any tunnel, anything burrowed underneath mechilos aloy niskatshu, and they don't have any kedusha, that's only if their entrances are to Har HaBayis, that they do not have any kedusha inside because they're not open to the Azora. Kitanya hahi bepsuchos laAzora, and when we saw before that toichon kodesh, that's the in the sefer where it says that benuyes b'choil upsuchos laKodesh toichon kodesh, that's talking about, even though it's underground, nonetheless, since it's open to the Azara, and that's why Teichon Kodesh, those types of mechilos, those types of tunnels that have entrances in the Azara, they are, the Teichon is Kodesh. Ask the Gemara v'otanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer mechilos mitachas haheichol chol. Do we not learn in a braisa that those tunnels underneath the heichol, and we're assuming at this point that their openings are to the heichol, nonetheless choil, they are choil? Then the question comes back, if so, when it says before that the benuya is b'choil upsucha is l'kodesh, toichon kodesh, then it must be talking about, it's not mecheilos, it must be talking about above the ground. And if it's above the ground, then the beginning of that, of what we saw before, Alishkeis Abnuyes B'Kodesh, if it's above the ground, how can you say Gagoseim Kodesh? It's against what Rav says. Says the Gemara, Kitanya Ahi, Shepsuchos L'Choil. That Braisa that says Mechilus, Mitachas Ahechol, Choil, again, we're talking about only that the entrances are to the Har HaBayis. Even though they're burrowed underneath the Hechol, the entrances are outside to the Har HaBayis, and therefore, the insides are choil. And you have no proof from there that when it says that, when we saw before where it says Toichon Kodesh is talking about where the entrances are in the Azara, and therefore even though they're underground, they could still be Kodesh, and therefore what we said before, that whole Mishnah of Lishkos Abnuyes B'Kodesh is indeed talking about the underground, and therefore in the Reisha where it says that the Gagos, that the roofs, our Kodesh is talking about when they're underground and the roofs are actually the floor of the Azara, and therefore it's not a contradiction to what Rav said, that roofs that are high up on top of the chambers, on top of the buildings, are not Niskadish. Continues the Gemara, the fourth source. Toshima, we learned in another Braisa, V'gagoi Kodesh. Till beforehand we spoke about the Aliyos inside the Heichal. There's a special pasuk that said that we deduced from that pasuk Hakol b'chtav miyad Hashem olai hiskil, that it's kodesh. What about the roof on top of the heichal? It's the Braisa says, and that's a continuation of that Rabbi Yehuda we just saw a moment ago. Mechilos mitachas haheichal, the tunnels underneath the heichal achil, but the roof of the heichal is kodesh. And why is this not contradicting what Rav said that gagin lo niskachu? Answers the Gemara of Tisbara, you're going to bring proof from there. V'oktoni, gagin alolu, we learned. Don't bring proof from there, because we learned that those roofs, ein oichlin sham kotche kotchim, you're not allowed to eat kotche kotchim. Kotche kotchim has to be eaten in the Azara. This, the heichal is in the Azara. And says, even though gagoi kodesh, you're not allowed to eat kotche kotchim on those roofs. V'ein sheichatim sham kotchim kalim. All kotchim kalim has to be shechted inside the Azara. You're not allowed to shecht on the roofs of the heichal, even though it's in the Azara. So even though it says gagoi kodesh, no. They do not have all the halachas of kedusha, and therefore it's not a contradiction to what Rav said, that gagois lo niskachu. If so, you're going to ask, so then what does it mean that gagois, the gagoi kodesh, that the roof of the heichal is kodesh? What does it mean it's kodesh if you can't eat kochim there? You can't shecht kochim kalim there? So what about it is kodesh? V'elokashia gagoi kodesh, says the Gemara Omer of Chomer Bar Guria, that all it means is that it's holy enough that they would choose to store the tools there. The tools that they would use for building and other tools, other utensils that belong to the Beis HaMikdash, and they preferred, it wasn't a prerequisite, it didn't have to be that way, but they preferred to store them in a place that had some minute level of Kedusha. So the Gag Heichal, the roof on top of the Heichal, was holy enough that they would be comfortable storing the utensils there. La'oison, similar to what we saw by La'oison base amos, an amma is a measure, and there would be sticks of exactly an amma, and there were two types of amos that were actually not exactly an amma. An amma is six tfachim, and here you had two sticks, one of them was half a finger's breadth longer than an amma, another one was a whole finger's breadth more than an amma, and these sticks, we'll soon see what they were used for, but these measuring sticks, these poles, they were stored not just any old place, they were stored in a place that had some level of Kedusha. So too, the roofs of the Heichal had that level of Kedusha that the utensils could be stored there. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Beis Amos Hoya. There were two sticks that were each just that little bit fraction longer than an amma, one half a finger's breadth longer and one a whole finger's breadth longer. And where would they store that? B'shushan Abira, on the entranceway, the Mizrach entranceway, the eastern entranceway into the chamber called Shushan Abira, one of the chambers in the Mizrach of the Azara. And the reason it was called Shushan Abira is because they would, on top of, in the entranceway of this chamber, there was built there a type of a model of Shushan Habira. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim why they would have this design to remind us of the Shushan Habira. Either the Klal Yisrael wanted to remember and have gratitude for the fact that they were allowed after the Purim story in Shushan to come back and build the Beis HaMikdash, or it was actually imposed on them by the kings of Poras of Persia to remind Klal Yisrael, remember that we're the boss and don't try and rebel. Either way, there was this gateway in the Mizrach of the Azara called Shushan Abira, and on there, on the two corners, they would put these two sticks. Achas al Keren Mizrachis Tzfoinis, one of them would be put, the shorter of the two was put on the corner of the east, northeastern corner of that chamber, V'achas al Keren Mizrachis Joimis, and another one on the southeastern corner of that chamber. Zesh al Keren Mizrachis Tzfoinis Hoysi Yisir al Shemesha, the one on the northeastern side was longer than Al Shel Moshe, was longer than the Amma, the original Amma used by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. Chetzi Etzba, half a finger's breadth. V'zeh Shel Keren Mizrachis Droimis Hoysi Yitzir Oleo. Chetzi Etzba. And the Amma, the stick, the measuring stick that was on the southeastern corner, was an extra half of a finger's breadth, even longer. Nimtzeis Yaseir Al Shel Moshe Etzba, that totaled a whole wind finger's breadth more than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma. V'lama hayu, achas gedoilo v'achas ketano. Why did we need any long stick longer than an Amma if you had a measuring stick of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was the shorter, which was the original and the correct absolute size of an Amma? So the Braisa said, the Mishnah says, shahayu, shayiyu ha'umnim noitlin b'ketano u'machzirin b'gedoilo. When the people, the craftsmen, the workers that were employed by the Beis HaMikdash to do a certain work, then they were told to do an amma of work. So they would measure, they would take Moshe Rabbeinu's amma, the small amma, and they would measure what the materials and the work costs to build an amma, or to make whatever they were making, an amma of that work. And that's what they would charge. But when they would actually deliver the work, they would take the other sticks, the larger sticks, and they would deliver a little bit more, because the money being paid for the materials and the money being paid for the work comes from Hekdesh. Taking more than is due could have an issue of Me'ila, and therefore they would deliver a little bit more than what they would charge for. So they would charge based on the price of the original Amma, but they would deliver a larger Amma. In order that the workers should not come, chas v'shalom, to benefit from Hekdesh more than is deserving from them. Ask the Gemara, okay, so I understand you need a small stick, which was the original Amma of Moshe. I understand you need a bigger one so that the people working will deliver that little bit more. But why do I need two bigger sticks? One bigger by half a finger's breadth and one bigger by a whole finger's breadth. Says the Gemara, achas lekaspa v'dava. When working with gold and silver, there they would only add on half a finger's breadth. However, v'achas lebinyono, when they were doing construction work, there they would add on a whole finger's breadth more. Continues the Gemara now to question Rav from the fifth and last source, none other than our Mishnah on Daf Pehei Omid Beis. Tanan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Hachaloinois, the windows, V'oivi Achoimo, and the tops of the walls, Kelifnim, have the same status as being inside. Now Rashi, when we learnt the Mishnah on Daf Pehei Omid Beis, Rashi explained that it's talking about the walls of Yerushalayim. But now the Gemara seems to take that also to be referring to the walls of the Azorah, that the windows of the Azorah, or the walls around the Azorah, they have the same status as the Azorah, and this seems to contradict what Rav said, that Gagin v'Aliyos, that the rooftops or the upper stories are lo niskatshu, and in the same way as anything which is not the floor of the Azara, lo niskatshu, how can the chaloinis v'oivi ha'choimo be kalifnim, have the kedusha of the Azara? So the Gemara explains, bishlei mechaloinis, regarding the windows in the wall of the Azara, that we can get away with. Mishkachas lo, we can find the shavyo lekarka Azara, because the Azara actually had a number of different levels. First there was the Ezras Yisrael, then there was the Ezras Koyanim, and then there was the Ulam, the Heichal, the Kodesh Kedoshim, and there were steps going from one level to the next. So the windows in the walls of the lower levels of the Azara were flush with the floor of the upper levels, the higher levels of the Azara. Mishkachas lo deshavya lekarka Azara, we can find that the windows on the same level as the floor of the Azara on a higher level. Elo oivi achoimo, but the walls of the top of the walls of the Azara, heichem mishkachas lo, how can that, if you don't hold that Gagin v'aliyos niskachu, if you hold that Gagin v'aliyos lo niskachu, and it has to be only the floor of the Azara which is Kodesh, when are you ever going to have the top of a wall that is Kodesh? Answers the Gemara, Mishkachas lo bebarashura. It was very typical that they would make an outer wall that was high up, and they would make a lower wall further in, around them, just inside the main walls, there would be a lower wall called a barashura, a lower wall. And Dechsiv, as we see such a concept in the Pasuk says, Choshev Hashem lahashchis choymas batzion, Hashem was thinking of destroying the walls of Yerushalayim, not a kov lo yheshiv yodoim mi balea, vayavel chel v'choymo. And he caused chel and choymo, so to speak, to mourn. And that means the walls of Yerushalayim, so to speak, when they were destroyed, they were in mourning. So what are these walls? Chel and choymo. Chel and choymo is referring to these two walls. There was the main wall, the very tall wall called choymo. There was the lower wall, which was inside it, called chel. V'omer b'achavi, temer b'chanina, shura or bar shura, that chel v'choymo is the big wall and the lower wall. So too, around the Azara, you had the main high walls, and there we say, gagin v'aliyah is lo niskachu. When it says in the Mishnah that the oivi achoymo, they were kalifnim, it means the tops of the lower walls, and the tops of the lower walls were flush with the floor of the higher sections of the Azara, and therefore it was niskadish. Continues the next Mishnah. Shtei chaburois shehoyu oichlin bebayis echod. If you had a single korban pesach that was split into two groups, you had one group eating part of the korban pesach and another group that were going to eat a different part of the korban pesach, and they were both sitting. It means both these groups were sitting in one home, then of course they're allowed to eat together. They could make it into one group. But if they want, they're allowed to even face away from each other, so to speak, making a distinct statement that we are two separate groups, and it's okay. Eilu hoifchin es paneim heilech, half the group, or one of the groups, can actually turn their face in one direction, v'oichlin and eat the korban pesach, v'eilu, and the other half of the people, hoifchin es paneim heilech, they can turn their faces in the other direction, v'oichlin, and eat it. V'ameicham be'emtza, and this is even allowed if they put the meicham, which is the big something, a big barrel of water or the urn of water in between the two groups, making so to speak a partition between the two groups, that be'emtza in between them, which so to speak splits up the two groups. Nonetheless, they're allowed to do that. Continues the Mishnah, Kishashamash, when the waiter is oimed limzoig, when the waiter that belongs to one group and he's going to that, he's a single waiter for two groups, but he's registered with one group and he's eating the Korban Pesach with one group, he's not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach from the second group. So what does he do? When he's oimed limzoig, when he stands up to pour, then to pour the wine and to serve the other group, kofetz as piv, he should close his mouth, umarzir as ponov, and he should face away from that group. So to speak, he should constantly remain facing his group, ad shemagiyei etzel chaburasoi, until he comes back to his own group, v'oichel, and he can eat there, just to remind him not to chas v'sholem eat Korban Pesach in two groups, which is osur. If you have a group with, and in this group you have a kalo, and she's embarrassed because people are looking at her, and she's embarrassed for people to see her eating, she's allowed to turn away from the group, even though that way it's so to speak as if there's two groups here, that she's like on her own, a way different from the rest. It doesn't matter, like we saw that it's okay. They can face in one direction, she can face the other direction, and it's okay. It's mutter. Says the Gemara, Masnis in this Mishnah money, who is it following? Because we're about to see in a Braisa Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is actually following exclusively just Rabbi Yehuda. The Tani we learned in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'lokhu min Adam, they would take the blood of the Korban Pesach, v'nosnu al shtei ha'mezuzos, they would put it onto the doorposts, v'al ha'mashkof, and onto the top of the doorframe, al habatim, on the homes, in plural, asher yoichlu, again in plural, asher yoichlu oisoi, it, the Korban Pesach, behem, in them. And that's the pasuk that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are discussing. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the pasuk says that the Korban Pesach was eaten, it says al habatim, on two different homes, batim is plural, asher yoichlu oisoi, that yoichlu they would eat, in plural, oisoi, a single Korban Pesach bohem. Melamed, what do we learn from there, says Rabbi Yehuda? Sheha Pesach nechal b'shtei chaburis, that you can take oisoi, a single Korban Pesach, and eat it in two separate groups. So, okay, half the Korban Pesach is eaten in one place, in one home, and another half of the Korban Pesach is eaten in a different home. Okay, is any one person allowed to eat b'shtei mekoymos? Is one person allowed to eat in two places, either in two different rooms in the same house, or in two groups? Which means, like we saw before, if you have one group facing one way, one group facing another way, is one person allowed to eat in two groups, in two places? No. Talmud Loimar, Babayis Echod Yeochil. The Pasuk says, Babayis Echod Yeochil, which means that the Korban Pesach is only allowed to be, that means any one person, it's as if it says, Babayis Echod Yeochil. That if you're eating, you're only allowed to eat in one bais, in one home, in one place. That's a different pasuk. It says, "Bebayis echod ye ochel lo yisaytzi min habayis when abot tzachutza ve'etzem lo yisish beruboy." And there it's talking about the person. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That bebayis echod ye ochel, even though the word ye ochel, the way it's pronounced, is that the korban itself shouldn't be eaten in two places. Well, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that. Rabbi Yehuda said, we just said now, that you are allowed to eat melamed shapesach nechal b'shtei chaburis, is allowed to be eaten in two places. It's talking about the person. It's as if it would say b'bayis echod yoichal, it's the same letters, just without the punctuation, that if you are, any one person is not allowed to eat in two places. Mikan omru, so from here we deduce that ashamish, the waiter, she'ochal kazayis b'tzada tanur, if the waiter himself actually ate the kazayis of the Korban Pesach while standing next to the oven that was roasting the Korban Pesach, then he's now no longer allowed to continue eating the Korban Pesach when the Korban Pesach is taken to the table to the rest of the group. That's called two places. He's not allowed to do that. So what should he do? It's too late. He's already eaten the kazayis. And we've got an issue that he has to eat Korban Pesach when he's full. He's just so almost by mistake taken the kazayis prematurely, what should he do? Ipikechu, if he's wise, the male kreisa, he fills up his whole stomach with menu of Korban Pesach, he fills himself up with Korban Pesach, that way he's eaten Korban Pesach on a full stomach, that way he won't by mistake come to eat elsewhere because he'll already be satisfied, and that's what he should do. If the rest of the group want to do a favor to him, or want to give him the due respect, then they will come, before they start eating, they'll move their tables next to the oven, and they'll join him there, and then the whole group can continue eating where the waiter started eating. Tivi Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that a single Korban Pesach can be eaten by different people, by different groups in different places, in different chaburos, but any one person is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach in two places. Rabbi Shimon argues with Rabbi Yehuda, and he says the opposite way around. He says that when it says in the pasuk "Ala batim asher yoichlu oisay bohem," what that means is "Melamed sheha oichel oichel b'shtei mekaymos." When it says "asher yoichlu," that Rabbi Yehuda understood "Ala batim asher yoichlu oisay bohem" is that the korban Pesach can be eaten in different places, but not by the same people. So when it says yoichlu in plural, it means some people will eat here, some people will eat there. But any one person cannot eat in two places. Reb Shimon says no. Asher yoichlu actually means that any one person can eat it in a number of places. Lamesh ha'oichel, oichel b'shtei mekoymos. That means one person is allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, even if it's in two different places. Yochel, I may have thought that Yehei Nechal B'Shtei Chaburos, I may have thought that the Korban Pesach itself, the Ikrei Shel Pesach, is allowed to be split up in two places. The Talmud Lema says no. B'Bayis Echod Yeochel, the Korban Pesach may not be eaten. And here Reb Shimon is saying Yeochel is not referring to the person, as Rabbi Yehuda said, as if it said Yoichel. No, it's talking about B'Bayis Echod Yeochel is referring to the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach should not be eaten in two places. However, if one person can eat from this Korban Pesach in two different places, that's okay. Because Ikrei Shel Pesach, what Reb Shimon says is that you're not allowed to initially go and split up the Korban Pesach and say it's going to be eaten by two chaburos. But if any one person in this one chabura, he wants to go and move from one place, from one mokim to another mokim, from one room to the next, that he's allowed to do. But the Ikrei Shel Pesach, you're not allowed to lekatchila split up the Pesach into two groups. That's the opinion of Reb Shimon. B'maikom Eflegi. What are they really arguing about as far as the way they learn the psukim? Rabbi Yehuda Sova Yesh Eim LeMaseiros. Rabbi Yehuda says that the priority is given to the Maseiros, to the way that it's been written. Look in the Sefer Torah. B'Bayis Echod Yud Aleph Chof Lamed. Read it, Yoichel. Make sure that you eat it in one place. It's talking to the person. The Korban Pesach could be split into two groups. Any one person, don't eat it in more than one place. Reb Shimon says no. Yesh aim le mikro. We give priority to the way it's actually read with the nukudos, with the pronunciation. The pronunciation, the way you read it, is ye ochel, talking about the Korban Pesach. That b'bayis echod ye ochel, the Korban Pesach initially is only allowed to be eaten in one place, one group, not in two chaburos. If any one of these people want to take Korban Pesach to a different mokim, we're okay with that. Continues the Gemara. Hoyu Yoishvin, what happens if you had a whole group of people that were sitting? V'nifrasa mechitza b'neim. And then, whilst they were sitting, a separation was spread out, a mechitza, a partition was spread out between the two groups. Then, l'divri ha'oimir pesach nechal b'shtei chaburois, according to Rabbi Yehuda that says that one person is not allowed to eat in two places, but you are allowed to split up the Korban Pesach. One Pesach is allowed to be eaten by two groups. If so, Oichlin. Because what's happened here? Each person is sitting exactly where he was. You haven't introduced a new airspace. You haven't introduced a new place. All that's happened is you put a partition between the two groups. It's now as if there's two groups. According to Rabbi Yehuda has no issue with that. So half the Korban Pesach will be eaten by one group, and the other half will be eaten by another group. And there's no issue with that. But according to Reb Shimon, who says that a single Korban Pesach is not allowed to be eaten by two separate groups, now they've become two separate groups because there's a partition between them. You have an issue with that. They're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in this circumstance. Continues the Gemara. If you had two groups that were sitting in the same room, and there was a mechitza partition between them, and they each had their own Korban Pesach, everything is fine. What happened? And now somebody removed the partition that was between them. So there's still two chaburois, that hasn't changed. They each have their own Korban Pesach. However, you've introduced a new mokim. The area, the airspace, the place that you are in has now changed its dimensions. It's now become a bigger room. So to speak, you're now moving from one place, the small place, into a big place. Are you allowed to do that? According to Reb Shimon, who says that a single person is allowed to eat his Korban Pesach in two places, we have no problem, he can eat them. According to Reb Yehuda, who says, a person is not allowed to eat his Korban Pesach in two places, since we've, so to speak, introduced a new area by removing the partition, then he's not allowed to continue eating from his Korban Pesach. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was sitting, and Koposhet lay, and he was saying over Mifshat in a very conclusive way exactly what we just said now. Very conclusively, that by Nifsaka, Mechitza Beneim, when you take away them, when you put a partition between them, it's considered as if it's now two chaburois. And when, in the case of Nistalka Mechitza Beneim, it's as if it's two mekoimois. As we said now, and he said that very conclusively. Omele Ravashi Rav Kahana. Ravashi said to Rav Kahana, Iboya, really, it shouldn't be so clear to you. You should actually be asking it as a question. Siluk mechitza, when you remove a mechitza, v'asiyas mechitza, or when you make a mechitza, mihava kabeis mekoimis, when you take away a partition, is it considered like two places? Ukabeis chaburois, when you put a mechitza there, is it considered as if it's now two chaburois, domi? Is it compared to that, oiloi, or not? And the Gemara says, indeed, it's a question, even though the Gemara before said it quite conclusively. But Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, you should really be asking as a question and not taking it for granted that it's indeed similar to two mekoimos or two chaburois. And the Gemara indeed says, teiku, we have no way of resolving that. We have to let that question stand. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara is taking us back to the last statement of the Mishnah. The Hakala Ifeches es Poneo Vecheles, a Kala is allowed to turn her face away from the Chabura. And as we said before, this is Rabbi Yehuda, that a Korban Pesach is allowed to be eaten in two Chaburais. A Kala can turn her face away. Says the Gemara, Mai Tama, why would a Kala want to do that? Omer Bchir Bar Abba, Omer Biechanon, Mipneshi Boisha, she's embarrassed. Everyone's looking at her, a Kala, and therefore she's embarrassed to be seen eating that way, so she wants to turn away. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Nosson, Ikla l'Bei Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Rav Huna was once visiting Rav Nachman. Omru Lei, so Rav Nachman, the home of Rav Nachman, so the people in the home of Rav Nachman asked this visitor, Ma Shimcha, what's your name? Omar Luhu, so he answered back, Rav Huna, my name is Rav Huna. They realized straight away, this seems to be a prestigious and very important person. Omrus, they said to him, Nesiv Marapuria, take a seat on a couch, not like the regular people that are sitting on benches, sit on the couch. Yosef, he sat down. Yovele Kasa, they gave him a cup of wine. Kibli Bechad Zimna, and at once, immediately he received it. He didn't try to say, no, I don't want it. He didn't try to decline. He took the cup immediately. V'shasya betrei zimna, and he drank it in two gulps. V'lo yahada ape, and he didn't turn his face away from the people when he was drinking it. And they were not used to this sort of custom, so they asked him a few questions. Omru lei, they first said to him, Mai tama korislach Rav Huna. Why you called Rav Huna? It seemed they were not used to, when they were asked people what their names are, they wouldn't like give themselves a title, I'm Rav Huna. Omalu, he answered them, Baal Shem Ani. It's not that I have smicha and that I'm called a Rebbe. No, that's what they called me from when I was very young. They called me with this name. So they asked him the next question. Mai tama ki omru lecha neisiv apuria yosavd. And the Mefarshim explained that we thought that you were a very prestigious person, you're Rav Huna, therefore you accepted to sit on the couch, not just on the benches. However, now that you're telling us that Rav Huna is just the way you were named when you were young, then why, when we told you to sit on the couch, did you sit on the couch? Omar Luhu. So he answered, Rav Huna answered, Kol ma shiyem lecha bal habayis aseh, chutz mitzeh. We know that when your host tells you to do something, providing he doesn't tell you to leave, you have to listen to the host. My host told me to sit on the couch, so I sat on the couch. Mai tama ki ovis lecha kisei kibel kaso kibelt b'chad zimna. Why, when we gave you a cup of wine, did you immediately at once receive it? You should have first declined it and refused it and said no, and only afterwards, when we would have asked you a couple of times, no, you should take it, you deserve it, and you know, you're a distinguished person, only then you should have taken the cup. Why did you take it immediately? Omar Luhusi answered them and he said, Masarvin lekotn, vein masarvin legodl. You only decline and refuse when a simple person gives you something. And then you don't need to straight away take up his offer. And this is learned from Avram and Lot when the Malochim came to Avram Avinu and Avram invited them in. They immediately accepted it. But when Lot invited them, they first said no. Until he pushed them to come in, then they were happy to come in. So, Masarvin the Cotton, in Masarvin the Godel, when an important, a prestigious person, a prominent person offers you something, that you shouldn't refuse that. And therefore, since the host is a chosh of a person, therefore I received it. My tam ishtise betrezimna. Next question, why did you drink the cup of wine in two gulps? Omaluhu. So he answered them, the Tani we learnt in the Braisa, Hashoise Koise Bivasacha, somebody who gulps down a whole cup in one go, he's a gargaron, he's greedy, he's a glutton, he's somebody who's, it's not a good character trait. Shnaim, drinking it in two gulps, derecheretz, that's the correct way of doing it. Shloisha, and if you do it very slowly, leisurely, in three gulps, Megasi Aruach, it's the way that haughty people drink wine. My tamale hadras apoch. Why did you not turn away when you were drinking the wine? Omar Louis answered them, the Mishnah says in our Mishnah, kala ifeches paneo, that it was the custom that a kala turns away because she's embarrassed. A man has no reason to have to turn away when he's drinking, even if people are watching him. Continues the Gemara Tnan, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi iklo lebei Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yosi ben Lukunya. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi was visiting Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yosi ben Lukunya. Yovulei, and they gave to Rabbi Shmuel kasa, a cup of wine. Kibla b'chad zimna, he immediately accepted it. V'shasi b'chad zimna, and he drank it down in one gulp. Omrulei, they said to him, Leisovar lomar, our master, do you not hold that ashoisa koisi b'vas achas hareze gargaron? That somebody who drinks down a whole cup of wine is a glutton, is like a greedy, gluttonous person? Omar Luhui answered them, Loi Omri, they didn't say that b'koisach cotton, when it's a very small cup, v'yenoch mosoik, when it's a sweet wine, v'kreisei rechova, and when you have a wide stomach, that means a large person with a small cup, with sweet wine, for on that they didn't say that if you drink it down in one gulp, that it's a gargaron. Continues the Gemara Omer of Huna. And this is not talking necessarily about Korban Pesach. Stam, when you had a group of people and they hired a waiter, that the waiter was going to serve them. So Bnei Chabura Nichnosin B'Shleisha, when they come, they shouldn't just come one at a time, so almost imposing on the waiter to start serving just one of them. They should come in three together, not one, not two. They come in three together. When three of them are sitting down, from that point on, the waiter now has to do his service and to serve these people. And the same when they leave, not the same. V'yoytzen afilu be'echod, they are allowed to leave one by one, even though they'll be leaving the waiter with just two or even just one person at the end. And it's more difficult for the waiter to have to serve an individual than it is to serve the whole group. Nonetheless, they're allowed to leave one by one. Omar Rabba, Rabbi said, "Vehu da'ail b'idna d'relegila l'mail." That all this is true only when it conforms with the custom and the accepted custom for the waiters. But it's not fair to quickly come into the dining room or where they're eating, to come in very quickly and that way imposing on the waiter to have to start working earlier than accepted. Nor is it fair for the people at the end to stay longer than what's accepted to stay for a meal. That means you're not allowed to force the waiter to have to serve you longer than what's accepted. V'hu derogash b'hu daila. And also this, that we allow the people to leave one by one, even though at the end they will leave the waiter having to serve just one or two people, not a whole group, that, as we said, that's allowed. V'yotzin afilu be'echod. However, that's only when the waiter was made aware right from the beginning, he was told that this is what's going to happen, that the custom in this group is that at the end of the meal, we're going to leave whenever we're finished. We're not going to wait for each other. And yes, you may have to serve just one or two people and at the end of the meal. Omar Ravina adds, V'noisnin schar domim, those that stay at the end, that means most of the group, or there's not three left anymore, there's only one or two left, they have to pay schar domim, they have to pay a bit extra to the waiter. But tzarech achrin noisiv domim, and the one that's left right at the end has to pay an extra tip to the waiter. Obviously, it seems that those who are at the end, being that it's harder work, or it seems that they're just staying there longer than the rest of the group, that they have to pay the extra tip or the extra wage to the waiter. Less hilchasa kavasei, but the aloch is not like Ravina, and the whole group pay the same wage. And obviously, as we said before, they're not allowed to stay longer than they've agreed upon. Then obviously they have to pay for it. But if they stay within what's accepted and agreed upon, then the ones at the end do not need to pay any extra. Hadron aloch keitzat tzoylin b'siyata deshmai. We finished learning perek keitzat tzoylin. Im yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to do chazor on perek keitzat tzoylin. And in the next year, we're going to start perek ha'isha, the next Mishnah.